Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, the list of things that you can buy at the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com. Things to wear like Chicago Reader hats, t-shirts, bandanas, and face masks. Things for your daily life like the Chicago Reader camping mug, Chicago Reader tote bags, and a Chicago Reader reporter's notebook. Things for you to read like our Reader recipes, the Chicago Reader 420 Companion, our Chicago Reader Best Of book series from journalists Maya Duke-Masaba, Mike Sula, Ben Jarofsky, and Lior Galil, the Chicago Reader coloring book, and the Chicago Reader Stay Home puzzle. Find the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com and show your support for the nation's first free weekly newspaper since 1971.
Bonus time of the Ben Jarofsky Show. As I speak, it is Friday, March 29th, 2024. My distinguished guest is awaiting, and I will tell you what's on my mind. I literally just read, about 5 minutes ago, a column in the Washington Post by Fareed Azakaria, who is, I guess you would call him a moderate, a classic moderate, all right? Very classic moderate. I'm not hating on the man. He's obviously very, very intelligent, very well-read, et cetera, and so forth. But the world, the way he processes the world is as a moderate. And as such, he is bending over backwards in this column. One more time. I'm just thinking my head and loud. Bending over backwards to appease MAGA. And essentially, the theme of the column is that NBC may have gone too far in severing the cord with Ronna McDaniel. We've been talking about this all week on the Ben Jarofsky Show as a paid contributor. Ronna McDaniel is, you know, we've said all week, was a the head of our Republican National Committee, an ally of Trump, participated with Trump in his failed attempt at an insurrection. And they got fired by Trump as the head of the RNC, and Trump replaced her with his daughter-in-law. I don't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. This is what MAG is up to, okay? Just imagine that nepotism if it had happened in Cook County in Chicago. Oh, my God. The Tribune, that's their head exploding. Michael Joseph Madigan and put his daughter in the power in charge. By the way, it's just the opposite with Michael Joseph Madigan. He kind of stifled his daughter's career for his own ego. Anyway, neither here nor there. NBC, after a protest by reporters, cut the cord, let her go. And we talked about the GAN all week. I was applauding. Thought it was a really dumb idea. I'm not even quite sure I understand what the whole role of paid contributors is in these national television news outlets. Anyway, the point being, Fareed is saying they've gone too far. 45% of the country, at least, loves MAGA. Many of them believe that the election was stolen, so they don't view the insurrection as a bad thing. They don't view it as lawlessness. So it's time that the mainstream media accommodate 45% and recognize their worldview and move on. And I'm like, how? I can't think of anything remotely equivalent that goes the other way. We're just blatant falsehoods proclaimed by the left would become required talking points on Fox TV. I just can't imagine in a million years. First of all, the left, the liberals wouldn't allow it. I can't imagine, for instance, the Sun-Times editorial board, which is pretty much like a liberal outlet or progressive outlet, I guess. Liberals call themselves progressives these days. Advocating lies, just total freaking falsehoods, just because other liberals have bought into it. I read this column. I'm like, what are we supposed to throw out all standards from here on out? Because 45% of the people have lost their freaking minds, so we should all lose our minds? I'm like, folks, you know me. I can usually talk and talk and talk. I read Fareed Zakaria's column, and I'm like speechless. I'm like, come on, man. They're not going to like you, Fareed Zakaria, more because you throw away your standard. It's not like MAGA's going to go, well, I like Fareed. They're still going to denounce you as a lefty, even though you're not a lefty. Anyway, I'm just going to calm down and ask my distinguished guest to introduce herself. And I bet my distinguished guest has a thought or two about this. So, distinguished guest, take it away.
Hi, I'm Ramana Hussein. I'm a member of the Sun-Times editorial board and a columnist at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yes. So I intentionally took the Sun-Times in my example as the editorial. I cannot imagine. I got issues with Sun-Times editorials. Ramana, as you know, from time to time I text you, what are you guys doing? But I can't imagine the Sun-Times clinging to lies, promoting lies, just because it helps the home team, if you will, or because you've lost your mind and you believe the lies yourself. But we're supposed to do that with MAGA. Help me here.
Yeah, no, we actually, we have a syndicated columnist who you are a fan of, S.E. Cup. She wrote a column about this, I think 2 days ago. I think it was in Thursday's paper about how the mainstream media, or she didn't say mainstream media, I'm using that word, but how the media needs to stop hiring. She originally in her column had written in the headline, Trump flunkies. And it's actually, you know, it's interesting because it seems like when a lot of these former Trump or former, like, I guess, right wing, you know, people who are like extremely right wing in politics or people who used to work for Trump, like if they want a job, they can get a job as a talking head in on TV news. It seems like they just show up. And it's not just TV news. I mean, like there was like, I think one of Trump's former spokespersons ended up on like Dancing with the Stars. I think, you know, there was, what's her face? What was the name of the woman from Alaska? Why am I blanking on her name?
Sarah Palin.
Sarah, yeah. Wasn't she on like some show called where like yes. You guess who the singer is? So it's not just the news media. It's also like the entertainment world. Like they try to normalize, you know, it's like, I don't know if they're trying to normalize, but they do normalize a lot of these reprehensible or like people who have reprehensible views onto television. And I don't think they would do that with a lot of people who are on the left. I think that would totally not be accepted by many Americans. So I don't understand why a lot of these people who on the right, as soon as like, you know, they're kicked to the curb by their bosses or they need a job, they end up on television and making more money than I do. I know that. And it's like, God, is that what I need to do? I mean, and I know as a brown person, if I sat there and started saying things about my community and throw them under the bus, I would probably make a fortune. And on these news stations that consider themselves, you know, more like, you know, quote unquote objective or centrist. And it's like, if I went on, the air and talked about my opinions on Gaza, they would never put me on air. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying like, there's this like tendency for the news, whether it's the media, and we see it a lot with TV news. And I'm not saying that print is totally safe from this, but it's also in the entertainment industry. I mean, you'll see a lot of, you know, it's like people put like these, you know, people put these Sarah Palin and all these other people on in TV commercials or, you know, and it's like everybody's just like kind of laughing about it. Like it's some big joke and it's not, you know, it's like you look at some of the things that these individuals have done. And with the head of the RNC, I mean, she was basically drinking the Trump Kool-Aid and we've seen what Trump did, you know, with the January 6th stuff. So it's just like, I don't know. I agree with you, Ben. I just don't. And Fareed Zakaria, he's an interesting character. He's more of a centrist, I would say. You know, he agreed with the invasion of Iraq as a brown person, and he's Indian, and also you know, has a Muslim background. His father was like a politician and was an Islamic scholar. So, you know, I know people from my community have been watching him for a long time. He's actually moved a little more to the left since the beginning. We still, like, every time we would see him, we'd get annoyed, you know, be like, oh, why is he saying that? But, you know, I mean, he sometimes says the right things, but yeah, I agree with you on this one, Ben. But Fareed is someone that we've all watched for a long time, people in my community, and we think he's a little, like, too polished, and we're like, just say, you know, we're just like, just be a little more, you know, forceful. We think he's a little too polished and says what people want him to say.
Well, this one here was, I think, lost track of reality, in my humble opinion, because he's bending over backwards so much to be accommodating to MAGA. And you alluded, it's one of my favorite little MAGA anecdotes. I talk about it from time to time. So the MAGA person who was on Dancing with the Stars, one of the worst dancers I've ever
seen. Yeah, what was his name again? Sean?
His name was Sean Spicer.
Yeah, Sean Spicer, yeah.
And he was a press secretary to Donnie Trump when Donald, I think in the, may have been the first press secretary. And then he left. He went on Dancing with the Stars, and he began, this is classic MAGA, he began by saying, embracing the notion, the very much Barack Obama notion, that we're really one country, and this is our opportunity to put political divisions aside and just enjoy, appreciate our love, our mutual love that crosses all political boundaries for dance. I'm not making this up, Romana. This was his appeal when he first went on the show. After he showed he was such a horrible dancer, nobody was voting for him. He then pivoted and made a complete and total naked appeal to MAGA. Send a message to the left, liberals, you know, the deep state, whatever. Send them a message by voting for me. We need a MAGA voice on Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Damn, you abandoned the I love you kumbaya line really fast. And see, here's my ultimate point. Get your response. Fareed Zakaria and other centrists, they're constantly searching for common ground that enables them to say, we're all Americans. We all see eye to eye on something. And MAGA doesn't play that way. MAGA refuses to see common ground. Every issue, like, you can't even love the Super Bowl. You can't, which you've got, well, if there's one area of American culture that everybody agrees on, it's football and the Super Bowl. No. Taylor Swift is some kind of lefty that's infiltrated the Super Bowl on behalf of Biden. You know, Colin Kaepernick has poisoned this sport, and I'm not going to watch everything. Do you follow what I'm saying?
No, I totally do. I don't like football. So, I mean, I think a lot of MAGA people probably think I'm an American. Well, they look at me. I mean, someone like Fareed Zakaria, it's like, God, you know, you're from India, you know, you have an accent. They don't like you. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. Maybe they would like him. They do like, you know, they do like brown people when they say certain things. So, but they won't fully embrace you at the end of the day. And I do think there's this like need from a lot of centrists to, and I'm not saying that, oh, you have to like brush away every single MAGA person. Like, I know a lot of people say, oh, we got to try to understand them. But as a person who is brown and who is vilified for just existing in the same group of people who want to understand Trump supporters, they would not give my community the same benefit of the doubt. You know, it's like, it's just astonishing how many people are like, oh, let's try to understand like these MAGA people, like, you know, they're human. And I'm like, you don't even do that with other people. You know what I mean? And they are human. And it's like, as individuals, I would probably be like, you know, try to be as polite as I could to a Trump supporter. But it's just like, I don't know, Ben, I'm just saying, as someone who, you know, I have gotten stuff said to me. I've gotten letters from like, you know, sometimes readers about me and my background. I could be writing about something that has nothing to do with my religious or my cultural background, and someone will attack me because of that. And I've seen this in America. I've seen this from centrists. I've seen this from liberals. Like, they agree with a lot of things that, like, you know, right-wingers will say. So that's why I get tired of the liberals, too, the white liberals in this country, because it's like, they'll stand up for MAGA before they'll stand up for people like me, I think. And so I feel like there's this, like, I don't know what it is, because there's so many MAGA people out there. It's like, oh, let's just try to, like, cater to them. And that's what I feel a lot with the Democrats right now. Like, all the boomers who are in power right now, they're so afraid to anger MAGA that they start using the language of MAGA sometimes. You know, we had Joe Biden in his, like, address. I mean, he's apologized for it since, but, you know, he used the word illegal. And is that the worst crime of the century? No, but I do think it was, like, purposely put there to appeal to a certain group of people, right? And it's like, I don't know. I feel like people go out of their way. People who, like, claim to be on the right side to appease the MAGA types. So I don't know.
I actually think in the Biden moment, that was Biden going off script. If you recall, that was in the State of the Union where he was riffing. And I think it exposed where his brain is.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't a scripted moment.
Well, I thought it was scripted. But yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, but it just shows how there's this, like, need to cater to a certain group of people. And I always hear things like, well, there's a lot of people out there who think this way, so politically. And I'm like, well, then why are we even, like, why does a certain party think that they're on the right side of things when they're going out of their way to appease a certain group of people who don't uphold the values of what this country is supposed to be striving for? So it's, I don't know. I'm not saying every single person, but I've seen it a lot. And I've just seen this catered to and a lot. We'll be talking about the flag burning thing. And that's an example of appeasing to a certain group of people in this country.
We might as well make that transition right now. But I will say, I just have to say, SC Cup. I fell in the habit of texting Romana. Oh, good column by SC Cup. Did you read it? Of course, it's in the Sun-Times, so of course you read it. So I have my issues with some of the columnists that the Sun-Times runs. I'm just going to say that, all right? Romana, I don't do this as much anymore, Romana. Like, you would be the person I would complain to because you're the only one I know. Why are you still running this guy? He's such a libertarian hack, you know?
I know who you're talking about there, but
yeah, I forget his name. But SC Cup is a person who's conservative. And if you just, this fits the point that I think kind of where I live. And so their conservative stances on the issues of the day that I oppose and that, you know, really can get me going. And I've had, this goes back to, like, McCain running, I'm thinking about Mitt Romney running, Baby Bush running, Daddy Bush. Okay, you know, these are considered good Republicans these days, but I was opposed to them. So Essie Cupp is that kind of Republican. But she acknowledges that there was a lawlessness to Trump and MAGA that can't be tolerated. And to me, I appreciate that voice being expressed by a conservative. I know I shouldn't be so surprised by it. Romana, I believe that if you're consistently conservative, that would be the stand you would take. You would hold, like, the sense of law and order. You not have an insurrection and a coup, an attempted coup. You know, I would just think that would be a conservative. But obviously, it's not. You know, the great majority of Republican voters have embraced Trump's coup. So that's why I appreciate SC Cupp.
I just think it's kind of sad that we have to act like, oh, look at this martyr. Like, you know what I mean? I know what you're saying. I mean, I probably don't agree with Cupp all the time. Sometimes I think she's a little too too right wing for me. But yeah, she's a Republican, right? And I do appreciate it, but I don't know why people have to be lauded. Like, there's some sort of like, God, they're doing the bare minimum. Like, you're supposed to, you know what I mean? And there's, it's like, I don't like that the bar is so low that we like see a Republican and they say one thing about Trump and we're supposed to be like, oh, they're so wonderful. Let's give him like, they're so like, let's put them at a pedestal. I just don't, it's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, you know? And so I know what you're saying.
The bar is so low that everybody gets so excited
about like, one like Republican, like Mitt Romney's like, I don't like Trump. And everybody acts like he's like some hero. And, you know, it's just kind of like, well, you know, it's like people like put the Bushes on a pedestal. And I'm like, I don't agree with a lot of things that the Bushes did either. Like, you know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden we're supposed to think that these people are so wonderful. I just don't, there are better people. I'm not saying, but it's like, not everything they did was awesome either. They did a lot of horrible things too. And it's just like, just because they can talk a little better and like, you know, and aren't like bombastic and were former TV show hosts, it doesn't make it great either. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, we like lose our focus on like, who we're, it's like, you can still criticize these people. Like, you don't have to sit there and go, wow, I wish we had people like this again. I'm like, no, I don't wish we had a Bush again, you know? So I don't know. Maybe I'm just too bitter with this country and a lot of its citizens. I just feel like I used to think that this country really tried to strive for the ideals that it laid out. But the older I get, I'm like, no, we're not interested in any of that. So
no, and I had a moment, a personal revelation on the mic on Wednesday when Monroe was on, Monroe Anderson, and we were talking about one of our favorite topics, Vladimir Putin of Russia. So follow me in this. This is exactly how the conversation with this, or is a good paraphrase of the conversation that was happening. It was live, as impromptu. We hadn't scripted in any way. It's the typical Ben Jarofsky show conversation. And we were talking about how there was the attack at the concert hall.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
In Moscow. Yeah. 140 people killed. Awful, horrible attack. And almost everybody across the board has ISIS claimed they did it. Okay. They claim they did it. All right. So, but Putin is not like, he doesn't want to get involved in a war of words or a war itself for many reasons with ISIS, because he's already concentrating on the war with Ukraine. So he immediately tried to link it to Ukraine. And I said on the mic, I go, how could you trust anything this man says? It's so obviously an ISIS attack, but he's using it to justify a war somewhere else. And then Monroe goes, yeah, kind of like we did with Iraq in 9/11. I was like, wow, boom. I'm like, you're so
exactly
mind blown. That was so true.
Exactly. And people, like I said, people from my community felt the same way. They're just like, whenever our country criticizes other people for certain things, I'm like, you did this with us. Like, you like would attack any country with anybody with a Muslim sounding name, because it's like we're all the same. And that's a lot of what we're seeing with the protests about Gaza are about that. It's like you're quick to dehumanize other people and think you're morally superior, but you're not with the things you're supporting. And it's like, Ben, trust me, 10 years from now, we're going to be sitting there just like we did with Iraq and be like, oh, we supported this. I'm like, yeah, you did. And, you know, all these people, like, one of the great things about social media is like, you have receipts. You'll see what people, you'll see what people said about our country's support with what's happening overseas right now. And it's like, now you can see like what people say, what newspapers have said. I mean, I guess we have LexisNexis and we could see what people said about the war in Iraq, but Or any of our conflicts. Yeah. But Ben, that's such a, I'm glad you got called out for that.
Oh, totally. Well, I actually think if I go back and listen to it, I call myself out in the middle of my sentence. I'm like, oh my God. And then Monroe chimed in and it was like, Yes, it's exactly what happened. It was the 9/11 attack was used to justify launching an invasion of a war of a country that had nothing to do with it. And the United States, where we were, and this was my fear in the aftermath of October 7th, Ramana, and we talked about it in real time, like as horrific as that attack was, it was going to be used to justify something equally horrific, more horrific, whatever. At this point, I don't even want to get involved in like what's worse. It was going to be something that we should not be going down that path. And I remember thinking the same thing with 9/11. It's like vengeance itself is not a constructive policy. It's just watching a TV show. That's what you're doing. And only it's a TV show where other people will pay a consequence. And I believe that's where Israel has gone with Gaza. I believe that's where the United States went with Iraq and Afghanistan. And and Putin's trying to do it in Russia, only directed to Ukraine. And so people will be killed in Kiev, Ramana, or other parts of Ukraine. It have nothing to do whatsoever with what went down at that concert hall in Moscow, if you follow what I just said.
No, I totally do. And I, you know, I'm obviously old enough to remember 9/11 and the policies that were implemented afterwards. And these were policies that were very un-American in my point of view, and they're supported by Democrats and Republicans. So I'm just saying, like, if you opposed anything, you were automatically called un-American. You support, you know, it's like that rhetoric that Bush put out, you're either with us or against them. And my community was certainly someone who was painted or some, you know, groups of people that look like me, groups of, you know, our communities were painted as against them, you know, and we still are to this day. I mean, a couple of years later, you know, and Barack Obama was running for president, you know, the Democrats went out of their way to bend over backwards to separate him from his, you know, Muslim father and his Muslim, you know, stepfather and, you know, anything that was Muslim related to him. Because Barack Obama did go to schools that were Muslim, you know, in nature. He was raised in Indonesia. And to say that, you know, I know as someone who probably had his background, he did have exposure to Muslim people. He did study the Quran, you know. And it's like the Democrats went out of their way to say, no, he's a good guy. And I still get annoyed by that John McCain clip where every single white American I know is like, oh, look at John McCain. He's like coming to Barack Obama's defense. And we're like, no, and everybody that's like Muslim or Middle Eastern, we're like, no, he's like saying, you know, when this lady was about called him an Arab, he's like, McCain's like, no, he's a decent man. So it's like, oh, you can't be an Arab or a decent man. You know what I mean?
Was it Arab or Muslim?
He said Arab. She goes, isn't he an Arab? And, you know, and then okay, John McCain's like, no, he's a decent man. So like by saying that, it's like, okay, so like, and it's a lot of people don't even get that it's like offensive. You know what I mean? Because he's saying, oh, he can't be an Arab and a good man. Not that Barack, you know, it's like Barack Obama's clearly not Arab. But I mean, it was just insane. And then remember people like started going nuts over his middle name, which is my last name, Hussein. It's like every single Republican like would show up on these television shows and scream. Like they'd say Barack Hussein. Like they'd go Hussein Obama and like... And then I remember all the liberals that put Hussein in their Facebook profiles. Like all of a sudden, I mean, it was kind of cool because everybody wanted my last name all of a sudden. But I mean, it's just like, it's just so like, I don't know. It's just so bizarre. I just feel like this country like is so obsessed with painting people as the other. And what's going on with the White House right now? I know people in my community in Middle Eastern, a lot of Middle Eastern communities feel like, well, you still don't think of us as Americans because you don't want to listen to us. So that's what a lot of the feeling is in my communities right now.
Well, since you led, I wasn't going to ask you this, but let's see if you can pass the Ben Jarofsky Show trivia question. No guest has successfully passed this. I can't remember if I've asked you this. In the March primary happened last week. It seems like it was 50
years
ago.
Yeah, it does feel a
lot of time just goes that way. There was an effort, not as loudly proclaimed in Illinois as it was in Michigan, where there was an uncommitted choice. But there was an effort by many voters, Democratic voters, take a Democratic ballot and not vote for Biden. And you and I talked about this on the mic several times, and to leave it empty or write in Gaza or, you know, any write in whatever you want. Just don't vote for Biden. OK. So complete political nerd that I am. And I told you I was going to do this.
Yeah. We had a story on it.
Yeah, I saw your story. It wasn't as good as mine, but whatever. Anyway, you got, and plus you were late on it, but whatever. I immediately took a ward by ward view. Okay. And so let's see. So here's the trivia question. Which ward in the city of Chicago had the highest percentage of no vote for president in the Democratic primary? Go ahead, Romana.
The 50th?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are the only guest who got it right.
Really? The only reason I'm saying is because I live in this ward. So,
well, you live in the 49th.
No, sorry, 49th. Yeah, 49th. Yeah.
You got,
but I know
wrong. You got it right and you got it wrong.
No, you wanted
to say 49th. I'm going to give you it. I'm going to give it to you.
That
okay?
is shocking. Well, no, that makes sense. That does.
No, here.
It makes sense because there's more. Okay, I thought. Okay, so there's a large. I always tell this to Mick. I'm like, because Mick is always like, oh, Rogers Park is the most diverse. Like, you know, it is. It is a very diverse community. It's a diverse neighborhood. So Rogers Park, part of it's in the 50th ward and part is in the 49th ward. But I told him all my people are in the 50th ward. So that's why I was like thinking 50th, but I was thinking I'm part of the 50th.
No, you're right. You're the first. And here's the beyond the irony. Jews and Muslims.
They live next to each other. Yeah.
I love both communities, guys. I love you all. Okay. You know.
Well, we just agree.
You live on top, wherever it is, we want to live.
Yeah, but you know.
Jews and Muslims want to live on top of each other. Romana, Skokie, Lincolnwood. Rogers Park, West Ryan, wherever there's a Jew, the Muslims are moving. Wherever there's a Muslim, the Jews are moving. We love you.
Yeah, we do. Well, it is true. I admit.
It's so true. But that's unbelievable.
Because our cultures and communities are very similar, but we just disagree. A lot of us disagree with not everybody, because I think a lot of Jewish people agree with, I was just thinking there's a lot of brown people in Rogers Park, brown people who are Muslim. So that's why I'm thinking.
So here's the interesting thing. Well, there's many things. So the 50th ward, and Romana knows this, but I'm just telling you, the 50th ward is represented by Alderwoman Deborah Silverstein, who was the chief supporter of Israel on the two debates that the city council had on this matter. The debate where essentially they endorsed a green light for Israel to respond however it wanted to the October 7th slaughters. And then the ceasefire that passed by virtue of Brandon Johnson's vote, the resolution for calling for a ceasefire. And she led the opposition to the latter and led the support for the former, very much strong supporter of Netanyahu government in Israel. She's the alderwoman. So the 50th ward is viewed, Romana, as a pro-Israel ward, if you just look at the aldermen. Do you get what I'm saying? But it had the highest protest vote against Biden, and that's because of its diversity, if you follow what I just said.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's an interesting thing. I'm sure if you go in Skokie, there'll be a lot of people who, like, you know, the feeling would be that, oh, there's going to be a lot of pro-Israeli people, but not necessarily, right? If you go further north in the northern suburbs, the north, like really deep into the North Shore, there'll probably be fewer people who are pro-Palestinian. But Skokie, someplace like Skokie, you'll have a diverse, you know, opinions about the matter. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad I guessed it because I kept thinking, I guess I was thinking 49th, but then I was thinking 50th because I was like, that's where all my people are at. So, but I'm glad I got it right because I knew it was somewhere here in this neighborhood. There's no way.
On the other hand, the 50th was absolutely worthless in the vote on Bring Chicago Home.
So oh, really?
Don't get too proud of yourself. 50th
you know
quarters.
What, Ben? Yeah. I have to tell you, like the Bring Chicago Home thing, I think the fact that it was in the back of the ballot really hurt it. Because I personally forgot to vote for it. You know what I mean?
You're not the only
I'm
one.
I'm telling you, like, I'm just telling you because yeah. I was, okay, this is just me personally. I can tell you what happened was I went to go vote. I was with Mick, my husband, and we were voting. And I was so focused on the judges' races, like, because I wanted to make sure because, you know, I did all my homework. I did it. I read Injustice Watch and I read all these other articles and just about, you know, which judge was, you know, should be retained or which judge I should vote for. So I was just like so focused on it. So when I was done, I didn't even think to turn it around because I was just like, oh, okay, I got to get this judge in. And then I didn't. And then, you know, when we're walking, you know, Mick mentioned something about Bring Chicago Home. And I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot. And then I just like, oh, I didn't know what to do. And then I felt bad when Mick is like, well, if it loses by two votes, you're
it didn't lose by a vote, I know. So you don't have to worry.
But
you're not the only one. I've said this on the mic. I don't know if I've ever said it to you. Every election, I do a personal cheat sheet. I have many friends who don't follow politics, and they just text me, Ben, who do I vote for? Literally. And I'm telling you, at sometimes some big elections, there's 20 people on that list. It's just, Ben, who do I vote for? So I do the Ben cheat sheet, and I endorsed Bring Chicago Home to vote yes. And I was on the air recording, and I got a text from someone who will remain anonymous saying, where's the – I'm – the person was texting from the voting booth. Where's this referendum you were telling me to vote yes for? I can't say it. And I texted, flip the ballot over.
I should have texted you. You know, I didn't even think about that.
That's a service I provide. Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I felt, I don't know. I was mad at myself because I'm someone, it's really interesting. My dad, as soon as all of us turned 18, my father told us we had to register to vote. And he really pushed us to vote for every single election and never missed an election. But this year, people are just feeling fatigued. My mom became an American citizen like later in her life because she wanted to stay an Indian citizen for a long time, but she became an American citizen. And this is she's voted for every election, but she didn't vote for this one. She just felt like, she goes, what's the point? And I told her, I'm like, you should still vote. And she just felt like, I don't want to vote. So she was like, she was the one person, like everybody in my family, like that's got to be the first time my mom didn't want to vote. She's like, and I go,
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hussein. I cannot condone.
Yeah,
that.
I tell her you should
County
still
State's
vote.
Attorney race.
Exactly. Yeah. I told her you should. Yeah. I told her she should have voted and she just didn't feel like it. But I'm just saying everybody in my family, my dad, like, you know, people like my dad was like, you really have to vote. And that was the one thing is everybody in my family, there's four kids in our family. And every time one of us turned 18, my dad would make us go register to vote. And
God bless him, man.
So my dad was like really into voting. And I felt the same way ever since. Even if I'm not happy with who the candidates are, I still go. And there's so many other races that are important, including like the Cook County State's Attorney's race. As we're seeing, it's a nail biter here, and we'll see what happens. But
if that's one vote, we know Mrs. Hussein in Lincolnwood. I will just say this: so the 49th ward was the champion.
Bring Chicago Home.
The earliest results, Bring Chicago Home.
I could
shout
see that. Yeah,
out, 49th ward.
I could see the 50th ward. There's a lot of people who own businesses. So that was like a scare tactic, I felt like, with Bring Chicago Home. So that's just what I'm seeing with.
Nah, man. 50th ward, lame. L-A-M-E. Very lame. Okay. 50. I know some 50th ward listeners that I got out there. So I'm saying this to you guys directly. Lame. And don't tell me about the precinct. Ben, my precinct went. They always tell me about their precinct. You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll move on and let's discuss burning flag. And man, Ramon, you're gonna have to help me on this one. So I'll summarize for listeners because we haven't had a conversation about this on the show, believe it or not. So when it went down and the story broke, I think I read about it in the Bright One first. Sometimes I said, "Oh, well, this won't last. This is a tempest in the teapot. You know, this just." So what happened was that there was a protest downtown by a group that's opposed to the Israel onslaught in Gaza and supports Palestinian rights. And Byron Sixto Lopez showed up and gave a speech. And Byron Sixto Lopez, been on the show many times, alderman of the 25th Ward. He'll be on the show next week, by the way. I already reached out to him. He's coming on the show next week. Everybody knows where he stands on this issue. Big supporter of Palestinian rights. Big, very much a critic of Israel, the war against in Gaza. And also, he goes further. He goes beyond that. Critic of the concept of Zionism itself. He doesn't conceal that. So he showed up at this rally, this protest, to give a speech. Just before he showed up, a protester, an ex-Marine, burned the American flag in protest. By the time Byron got there, the deed had been done, the flag had been burned, and he gave his speech. I'm not even sure he was aware that the flag had been burned, although he was standing near with the remnants of the flag. And in the aftermath, sort of the right-wing core of the crew in the city council have moved to have him ousted from his position as housing committee chair because he was at this event where the flag was burned and has not denounced and subsequently the burning of the flag. I have many, many, many thoughts about this, but I guess I'll let you go first. I could see you writing a column about this perhaps next week or so. But anyway, Romana, your thoughts about this whole incident?
Yeah, my column is not going to be until like late April. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I'll keep an eye on it. I mean, I'm someone who can't protest anymore because I'm a reporter. Obviously, I have opinions on certain things, as anybody who reads my column knows, and certainly about Gaza. So when I was in college, I protested the first Iraq war, and people were burning flags at the time. I didn't. I did remember going to Washington with my mom. My mom took a group of kids to the protest. Like, anybody want to go? It turned out to be a lot of my friends and college students. And then I remember I was like so excited, and I was like, I'm going to get arrested. And then someone's like, you think your dad's going to be, parents are going to be happy about getting arrested? And I'm like, well, I don't think my dad would care. And then I was like thinking maybe he would. So I didn't do anything. But I remember a friend of mine, we were having a debate about burning the flag. And I said, it's fine. I mean, if it's like an act of protest, you're not burning like the country. You're just saying that you disagree with what the country is standing for and supporting. It's kind of in the context. You have to look at it. I know why people are offended by it, but then she's like, oh, but then you're burning that right to protest. And I'm like, not really. So anyway, I just remember this is a conversation I've had with friends for a long time ago. Have I ever burned the American flag? I haven't, but I'm not offended by it. I'm more offended by people getting killed with our tax dollars, you know? And so I was talking to Mick, and I just got a letter from a reader when I talked about this earlier in the week, and he mentioned how Americans, like, and I talked about this in my column, not last time, but maybe a month before, about how protests are supposed to make Americans uncomfortable, and burning the flag will definitely make people uncomfortable. But I thought a lot about Colin Kaepernick with the reaction that some city council members have had with the flag burning. It's like Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the national anthem and people got so upset about it. And it's like he was protesting the way, you know, Black Americans have been treated and are treated in this country. And so it was a form of protest and people were just up in arms. Like, people are more mad about him taking a knee than the actual way Black people are treated in America. And so that's how I feel about the flag burning. It's like, you could be offended, but really you're going to be that offended that you have to have a news conference. And, you know, and then there's all this like talk about Alderman, how do you pronounce his name? Chris Taliaferro. Is that so he basically, you know, it's always pointed out that he's a veteran and he's so offended by it. I'm like, it was a veteran who burned the flag. It was a couple weeks ago that it was a veteran who burned himself and killed, you know, died protesting, you know, what was happening in Gaza. So it's not like the person who did this was actually a military vet too. So for people to act like, oh, Chris Taliaferro has more of a grip on this because he's a former veteran, I'm like, this is a former veteran who burned the flag. There's a former veteran who burned himself. You know, they have experience too. And it's not like only veterans are the only ones who can have an opinion about our country, you know? And it's, so it's like, I just think, you know, it's interesting because a lot of these city council members who held that news conference, a lot of them are the same people who were complaining that we're wasting too much time on the Gaza resolution. And it's like, so you're not wasting all this time talking about a flag burning that this alderman didn't even do, you know? So it's like, you're wasting time now, you know? It's just insane. And like, you know, with the resolution, the ceasefire resolution, which I find is also interesting, is that all these people who opposed it kept saying it's not going to do anything, but yet they're still talking about it like weeks later. So it's like, if it didn't do anything, why are you talking about it? If it's a waste of time, why are you wasting your breath talking about it? So it's just interesting. I just think the same players who are complaining about the Gaza ceasefire resolution being a waste of time are now, you know, they're just kind of, I just think this is like just trying to appeal to a certain crowd. And this letter writer that I actually was just putting together letters for Sunday had pointed out, so it'll be in Sunday's paper, I think. He pointed out that Americans are, they love like the patriotism where you're kind of wrapping yourself in the American flag, like Donald Trump, you know, waving around a flag, you know, people, you know, at the January 6th rally were waving around an American flag. None of them burned the flag, but that doesn't mean that they stand for what our country is supposed to stand for. So it's like protests where you're burning the flag. It's like people get offended by that, but they're not offended by people who wave the flag around and clearly don't care about the U.S. Constitution, clearly are okay with, you know, wanting to overthrow, you know, an election, you know, or doing things that are unconstitutional themselves. But so they're just, this letter writer was just talking about how Americans seem to love just like waving the flag, but not really standing behind what the flag represents.
Yeah, I, that is a great point about wasting time. And the wasting time argument was largely raised by centrists. I remember great Chicago business. I think it was Greg Hines, my old poker playing pal, was raising the, what a waste of time this resolution was. And we have much more pressing issues to deal with, and crime is rampant. You don't care about, I mean, like, I'm like, dude, do you guys really believe this stuff? I mean, I try to believe everything I say. I'm pretty sure I do. You know what I'm saying, Ramon? Like, I talk, I give my opinions all the time, but I'm pretty certain that everything is really my opinion. I'm like, come on, Greg, do you really believe? Like, why wasn't it a waste of time when the council debated Alderwoman Silverstein's resolution
exactly
supporting Israel?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like if those latter, if the ceasefire resolution is a waste of time, then the supporting Israel is a waste of time. If any kind of foreign policy debate is a waste of time, then all foreign policy debates are a waste of time. Absolutely correct. But some of the aldermen who were standing at that press conference were of the wasting time persuasion. It's only a waste of time when the council is going to vote against whatever
exactly
your position is.
Exactly.
Okay, that's so this is my, in general, my gripe. And you've heard me on this so many times, Romana. My gripe with MAGA, and to a certain degree, my gripe with centrists. I'm always looking for people to have a principle that they're standing by. I could be appreciative of a principle. All right. But if you're MAGA and you support the right, to have an open insurrection in Congress against Congress because your guy lost the election, and you desecrate the halls of Congress the way they did. I mean, defecating in the halls of Congress. You know, walking into the halls of Congress with a Confederate flag, with a Trump flag. And I would be surprised if somewhere in a MAGA rally, an American flag was burned in protest to prosecuting Trump. Or Trump rallies, I don't know if you know this, Ramona, more and more, they begin with playing the national anthem as sung, and I am not making this up, by a choir. I have that in quotes because they are some of the worst singers I've ever heard. So you talk about desecration of January 6th insurrectionists who have been jailed, and they sing the national anthem. And so Trump will play that while saluting and wearing his hat. Now, when you play the national anthem, you're supposed to take the hat off. And I'm like, how is this not desecration of absolutely everything? And so they pick and choose when they're going to be outraged by the desecration of our protocols and symbols. And I'm just like, you can't have a discussion or debate with them. You can't have a discussion or debate, Ramona, with someone who just changes their position. Point, do you follow what I'm saying? Just based on their immediate needs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I guess like the flip side of our argument is like, what if we saw someone at a rally and the Confederate flag was there? We'd probably be mad. Right. But I don't know. I'm just saying like there, somebody pointed out, I saw some people pointed out that some of the city council members who were at this news conference, the same people were also at rallies where there were people who were arrested for, you know, their January 6th involvement or supporters of the January 6th insurrection. So someone's like, well, are you going to sit there and like every time you're at a rally where, you know, there were certain things that were done, are you going to point that out? Should you be censured? You know, it's just a waste of time. You know what I mean? I think it's a waste of time to talk about this because he didn't even, I don't even think he, you know, it's like, okay, even if he did it, I wouldn't, you know, think that he needs to be on the hot seat. But it's like, he didn't even do it. And you want to, you know, have all the, you know,
wait, so
dog and pony show.
If an alderman from the city of Chicago literally burned the American flag, the alderman, him or herself.
Yeah.
That's not what happened in this
case. No. I'm just saying that.
You don't think that there would be a legitimate source of.
No, there would. I'm saying that I could even, like, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that there shouldn't be, like, any sort of discussion or debate, like, you know. But I'm just saying that it would make more sense if he actually burned the flag. They're like, oh, now let's have a hearing about it. But he didn't even do it. You know what I mean? He didn't even do it. And so that's what I'm just saying. So, like, if any of these city council members, I'm sure they've attended rallies, some of these ones that were, you know, all outraged. I'm sure they've attended rallies with Trump supporters. You know what I mean? So, like, are we going to hold you accountable for the certain behaviors that we might not find, you know, so other people and I find acceptable at your rally, you know, at the rallies that you've attended? So that's what I'm just saying. I'm saying it would make more sense. I'm not saying whether I would support it or not, that if they would have these, you know, some sort of hearing or discussion or debate, if he was the one that actually burned the flag, the alderman of the 25th
Ward. And by the way, I'll just say this. I don't see any of these moments. I was caught off guard by how long this one has lasted. I thought it would be over.
I thought it was over too. I didn't know there was going to be a meeting on this, but I guess there is.
Yeah. Now they're having a meeting. But in some ways it's like, I don't view this as a waste of time because I think this is like a moment. It's like you can learn a lot about how politics works, how posturing works, how pandering works, the limits of principle, the difference between a strategy and a principle. I think this is all like a giant civics class. So I welcome this. I do believe many of these aldermen are not realizing how hypocritical they sound and the double standards that you just articulated they're invoking. But I welcome this moment. And we'll see where this goes. As we speak, I believe there will be a special meeting convened on Monday. They're going to try to have a quorum. I don't know if they're going to have it. In order to debate stripping Byron Sixto-Lopez of his chairmanship of the Housing Committee. Mayor Johnson said he's opposed to
that. Yeah, I was going to add, now I'm forgetting. Oh, when is Byron Sixto-Lopez going to be on your show?
He'll be on the show after that.
So he'll be there after that. Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that discussion.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting discussion. And the challenge for me will be to try to get Byron to calm down and focus. Byron's been on the show many times. Byron, you know I love you. He's like a ball going down the hill. Once he picks up momentum, look out. He's just, and I'm, hold on, Byron. Byron, you know I love you. Come on now. All right, Romana, we have pretty much run out of time, but I do want to give you the closing to a recommendation that you've made, which I've not followed up on to watch, but this is Romana's recommendation. So take it away, Romana.
Well, I probably have a lot of recommendations right now, or a lot of things I want to see. I should tell you, I have a lot of things I want to see that are on my list. I just haven't had a chance to see it. I don't know if you know, do you follow Rami Yusuf at all?
Oh my God.
So he has a comedy special right now on HBO, which I want to watch. And he kind of touches upon experiences as a Muslim American and the presidential election. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. He actually showed up at the Hideout a few months back. And so I was reading Richard Roper's review and he really liked it. And he said some of the material is similar from what his stand-up is right now. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to watch that. Ben, I know I talked to you about this because you have two daughters who are close in age to my oldest niece. This is probably not something that a lot of your listeners are watching, but I'm paying attention to because I have a niece who was born in 1994, and she was a huge fan of Nickelodeon when it was in its heyday. And there's a documentary that came out. It first came out on ID, and now it's on HBO. It's a four-part series. They're about 42 minutes long. And it's just insane. It's about all the problematic behaviors. There was like inequity in pay. A lot of the things these kids were asked to do on the shows, you know, they had the actors talk about it. There's sexual assault, abuse. It's just insane. So I think it's for me particularly, it's interesting because I remember a lot of these shows that my niece used to watch. So it's kind of like the dark side of children's television. It's called Quiet on the Set, I believe. And I think it's a really, really interesting piece about show business and just how people are quiet to kind of keep their jobs and how they want to hold on to their jobs and, you know, people in positions of power. And the guy who was like a big wig on Nickelodeon, his name was Dan Schneider, and he's kind of blamed for kind of some of the problems on the set. He was kind of mentioned during the Me Too era, and he kind of stepped down from Nickelodeon at the time. But he was someone, the reason why I was also interested is this guy was on the show called Head of the Class in the 80s. And I don't know if you remember that show. Do you remember that guy from WKRP, the crazy guy, the wild DJ? He was this teacher.
Yeah, Howard Hessman.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Howard Hessman is the teacher in this class to teach all these kids who are like really smart. So it's like a gifted class. And so Dan Schneider was one of the students on it. And Ben, I have to tell you, I know we're going back to South Asians again. It was one of the first shows to have a South Asian character. And the guy who played the South Asian character, Jawaharlal, that was his name. His name was Jory Hussein. And at the time, me and my friends, like, we would just get a kick out of watching the beginning of the show because there was a South Asian guy in the show. And we're like, oh, my God, there's an Indian guy. His last name's Hussein. So I'm just saying, like, it was for Gen Xer Indians, South Asians. Like, we were like, we're all over that show because we're like, oh, there's an Indian guy. And, you know, of course, the kid, it was like a Canadian actor or an American actor. And he still put on an accent like he was supposed to be from India. But, you know, and I remember we're all like all impressed. We're like, there's no way his first name is Jory. Maybe it was. But we were just like, but his last name's Hussein. And he's on a show. There's like an Indian kid on a show. So I'm just saying that I remember Dan Schneider being on that. So that's why he's a Gen Xer. I'm very interested in all these these headlines are coming out. Another Gen Xer, P. Diddy, is been making the news. And this is the same thing, like a lot of about how people just kind of turn away from this horrible, horrible, horrible behavior that apparently happened in, you know, in full view. And it's like, you know, we think it's not happening again. We talk about war, the same thing when it comes to sexual abuse and mistreatment of people in the workplace and especially in show business. So I think it's a good documentary to watch. Ben, I think you should watch it. I don't know if you talked about it with your daughters, but I bet your daughters know a lot of the players on these shows.
Yeah, no, they probably do. And I have not yet talked to them, but I will watch it in your recommendation. Although we're utterly obsessed with Bosch at the moment, which we're the only, it's a whole other story I don't want to go into. I will just close by saying this. I know I've been obsessively talking and promoting James.
I got to read that. Week. You know,
yes.
I think Natalie Moore is going to be interviewing him.
Natalie Moore did interview Percival Everett.
Yeah. So.
And I was very envious because, you know, I reached out to Percival Everett long before it was fashionable, and I didn't get the interview. But anyway, congratulations, Natalie Moore. I'm not hating.
But I have to read it. I definitely have to read it.
Yeah, you have to read it. It's an absolutely brilliant book. And just not to make you feel pressure or anything, but the Percival Everett book club on the Ben Jarofsky Show, his other member is Rachel Hinton, texted me this morning. She's received her copy. It arrived by mail, and she's starting to read it tonight. So that discussion we're going to have on James is forthcoming. So no pressure on you, Romana, to hurry up and get a copy of James. But it's truly just a fantastic book on so many levels. And I urge everyone to read it and then take the deep dive on Percival Everett. So no pressure on you, Romana, at all to buy James and read it. Just a little pressure.
No, I do want to read it. I'm reading another book right now, but I'm kind of slow on it right now. I'm not like Mick who finishes a book in a day or 2 days. Like I actually like, he like spend the weekend reading and I'm like, oh, I'm going out. I don't want to, so it's like when I'm leaving, when I go out and do something, he'll be reading and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that on my weekend. I try to read before I go to bed every night or watch a TV show. And sometimes when I get sucked into a TV show, I keep watching. So that's what happened with HBO. I was reading my book and then I'm like, oh. And so I have to tell you, my younger siblings who also watched my niece watch these shows. Oh God, you got to watch this show. It's so like crazy and it's disturbing, but it's interesting.
All right. Very good. We've run out of time. Romana, thank you very much. As always, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Okay.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. That's Romana saying. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everybody.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.